Blog Talk Radio.
Georgia, and the name of that song is entitled Embrace It. So today we're getting into a topic which is about mental health, and it's Mental Health Awareness Month, as a matter of fact. So we're going to be talking a little bit about the seriousness of COVID-19 and how people are coping with mental illness. Mental health while they're at home and things like this. So the outbreak of corona disease may be stressful for people. So fear and anxiety are some of the one or two of the diseases that can be overwhelming during this. Strong emotions can occur in adults and children. And coping with this stress will make you and the people around you much stronger if you learn to have some coping mechanisms and skills. So fear and worry about your own health and the health of your loved ones. Changes in your sleep and eating patterns can occur right now. Difficulty sleeping or concentrating. Worsening of chronic health problems. And increased alcohol, drugs, and other drugs. You know what I'm saying? I've talked to a few people that have given me a call, and they mentioned, you know, having trouble sleeping or maybe want to increase a few more glasses of wine. So it can be hard right about now. I do have a guest that's on the line with me, and she's calling in from South Carolina. Her name is Miss Jones. Miss Jones, how are you doing today?
Okay.
Doing good?
I'm okay. You can hear me?
I can hear you. Okay.
I'm here.
So we're talking about mental health. This month is Mental Health Awareness Month. So nearly 500 million people worldwide are currently living with mental illness, yet nearly two-thirds of the people with a known mental illness never seek treatment. So ADAA is dedicated to helping those living with anxiety, depression, and co-occurring disorders and their loved ones find treatment and support the resources. So every May for Mental Health Awareness Month, they encourage people to type in hashtag break the stigma. So we're breaking the stigma associated with mental health disorders. So by sharing your story, you never know who you're going to inspire and other people that are facing similar challenges. So they continue to provide free resources for those in need. So if you need to, you can go to them, and the company is ADAA. And if you want to reach out to ADAA, I'll give you one of the contacts for them. And then I'll allow my guests that's in the studio with me to even show, well, tell us, maybe she has some insight about this, about mental health, and maybe how it affects people she knows, or share her testimony. So you can go to ADAA.org. Go to the website, and they have plenty of tips. They have resources for individuals that are seeking assistance with that this time. Ms. Jones, you want to share anything, testimonies, or even give us some insight on how you feel about what's happening currently?
Well, I feel like I think that maybe a majority of the people are going through things, and I feel like a lot of people go through things in silence, because they are afraid of what someone's going to say or what someone's going to, you know, think of them because of what they're going through. I feel like being in the house, for me, being isolated, you know, staying to yourself and quarantining yourself and staying home is something that I do anyway. But it can right. put you in your own thoughts, you know? So you have too much time on your hands, honestly, to think, especially when you don't have – I don't have small children. My children are 26 and 19, and they're long gone out the home, you know? So they're doing their own thing, and I said, okay, well, I'm doing my own thing. So you think, okay, you're enjoying your life where you're free and you don't have to have any children with you, even though I wish they were still around. But, you know, you get those moments are great when you have children because you have to focus on, you have something else to focus on. But when you don't and you're just all in your thoughts, like your thoughts are sometimes your worst enemy and your best friend. My thing is I've dealt with mental illness over 10 years. You know, it was there all my life, but I've dealt with it.
So when was it, when was it that you really first got an understanding that you felt like you understood what you had? Because sometimes we can walk through life as a young adult and not even know. When do you feel that you first caught on to, like, okay, so I really am struggling with something?
I want to say I believe it was in, like, 96. I want to say 96, about 96, 1996. I want to say I started to figure something out. But I can't remember. I don't want to make up no years and dates because sometimes I can't remember. I lose focus on the dates and times. That's one of my issues.
Right.
But I remember my grandmother being sick, and I went to the hospital to go visit her just to check on her and everything. Because my grandmother always had the sugar, and she didn't want to listen. She wanted to eat the snacks and the McDonald's.
Right.
So we go there, and her sugar was up, so I go visit, and she's like, I just couldn't stop crying. And I was like, what the heck is wrong with me? I mean, I had a good job. I had good friends. I wouldn't say friends because now I'm a little bit more biased on that friend thing. But at that time, I thought I had good friends. I thought I had everything going on. I had my place. Everything was going great. I was suffering. But then, you know, I would do certain things and wouldn't realize, like, why am I doing this? Why am I like this? And one day I just started, I just wouldn't stop crying. So I go to my grandmother and I'm like, okay, this crying is not going to be happening because I'm with her. Sure enough, bust out crying, laughing, joking, talking, crying. So she's like, "Why? What's wrong?" And I'm like, I don't know. So she's the one who pushed me to say, look, when you leave out of here, go downstairs, go in the emergency department, and go to the mental health department, you know? And I went down there. Yeah, I never forget the doctor's name was Dr. Hamidi at Montefiore Medical Center in the Bronx. And he opened my eyes to, you know, the stuff that was, you know, that I was experiencing. I mean, it's been, that was the best thing that ever happened to me. Hospitalization was one of the best things that ever happened to me. I don't want to start thinking, but I think too much now. Now I'm just thinking a little too much. I'm back into the habits that I used to have before I relocated. So some of the habits I had was overthinking, overeating. I have put on so much weight.
Sleeping or concentrating? Do you have any difficulty with concentrating?
I can sleep better.
Concentrating?
I can actually sleep better now that I left New York. My thing is back. The only thing that's back is the overeating. People that know me for a long time know that I've always struggled with food. You know,
yeah.
So food has been a comforter for me. So I've noticed that I've gained weight, a lot of weight. So I'm like, I'm trying to work with that now. So it's like, and then the medical, the help that I got in New York definitely is not the same as that I would get out here, even before the pandemic.
Right.
Like, they pay more attention to you in your, you know, with mental health as far as New York is concerned. Well, I've had better experiences in New York than I've had out here. So it's like, where do
really?
We go when we can't walk into the clinic? You know?
Right.
So,
and so to say
so
what that
listening
said,
to what
I'm just going
to
share. I'm going to share that. So she brought up a good subject, guys. If you need help and know someone who does, here are a few phone numbers that you can reach out to. So if you're feeling overwhelmed with emotions like sadness, depression, or anxiety, and you feel like even if you want to harm yourself, first off, some of those people, you can call 911. But also you can visit what's called the Disaster Distress Helpline. It's toll-free, and you call 800-985-5990. Or you can text the word, all one word, talk with us, and you would text it to 66746, and then someone would text you back, or you can stay on the line with the toll-free number, 800-985-5990, so you can talk to a healthcare professional or someone that is skilled with helping those that are battling with depression or feeling overwhelmed or have anxiety currently. You can also visit the National Domestic Violence Hotline. They are another source of help, 800-799-7233. And if you want to know where I'm getting the information, I'm actually on the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, and I'm giving you information straight from the source, okay? And these are some things, guys, that if you find yourself in a tight place right now, take breaks from watching or reading or listening to the news. Take a break from that. Get off of your social media. Sometimes it's too much hearing about the pandemic and things getting repeated so much. It can start upsetting you, okay? Go out for a walk. Take deep breaths. You know, sit still and try to meditate. Those are things that are comforting. Also, switch up the diet and try to eat healthy, well-balanced meals. Exercise, even if it's just walking, you know, or hey, just get physical with yourself, do some dancing, something that's going to cheer you up. Get plenty of sleep and try not to, and this is hard for a lot of us right now, I think, is going to bed at 2, 3, 4 in the morning. Some of us have that habit right now because it's like, dang, I'm tired of sleeping. So those are some of the tips and that we can talk to each other about that I could share with y'all. But I do applaud you for sharing with us some of, you know, your first coming to like, okay, my grandmother helped me out, and then I went and talked to someone who was a healthcare professional. So you started going down your journey for understanding what is it that you was told that you have, and how are you dealing with it?
Well,
like, how are you dealing with it in New York? And were you getting treatment?
Well,
were you going to a therapist?
It was so much. Like when you go, like I would tell anybody, like go there. They're not. Don't get. You know, like don't stress and think like, okay, there's no help, because they're going to tell you you got so many other things. They're going to be like, oh, you're bipolar. Oh, that's like bipolar. Bipolar with schizoaffective disorder. Dissociative identity disorder. I mean, it was so many different things that they were saying to me. Well, overall, it all boiled down to PTSD. You know, it was like when you get, you know, and I have anxiety, a little OCD-ish. You
yeah,
know,
yeah.
But they're gonna tell you so many different things. Like I still feel like I would benefit from being reevaluated. you know. So I think sometimes, like, if you find the right doctor, being that my doctors kept leaving the clinic, like, they would come to the clinic. I don't know what it was about them that they didn't want to stay, but I would find one that I liked. They would leave, and I would have to go and spill my guts to another one. And then that one would leave, and then I would have to go and do the same thing. So my thing right now, the one that I will talk about, is the PTSD. That one right there is, like, I can relate more. I can relate to that. And to the other things, too, the anxiety, like, because I overthink. And I think I can do everything on my own. But I would tell anybody, if you go in, just be patient.
Right.
Just be patient. You're going to go through a lot, but just be patient.
I will say
and
this.
And some people,
like,
don't
want to
call
you,
those hotlines.
No, and I know, but and I hope you do. So we're going to get into that so some people can understand what is it to have PTSD. PTSD is actually called post-traumatic stress disorder. So it's not unusual for people who have experienced traumatic events to have flashbacks, nightmares, or intrusive memories when something terrible happens. This is what occurs when someone is having PTSD. Post-traumatic stress disorder, or some of us know it as PTSD, is a serious, potentially debilitating, which means it can just really take you out. It's a condition that can occur in a person who has experienced or witnessed natural disaster, serious accidents, terrorist incidents, sudden death of a loved one, men that have gone through battles and war, personal assault such as rape, or life-threatening events. There are currently about 8 million people in the U.S. that are living with PTSD. And research recently showed that PTSD among military people may be a physical brain injury, because this is something that is very intrusive to the brain, because it leaves like a stamp that can never be erased. And sometimes you just never know when those thoughts are going to come back. And I have to admit, I myself was suffering from PTSD without even knowing it. I lost my mother at the age of 18. It was a very traumatic way of losing her. I didn't go to therapy, and I do recall, I didn't even know I had PTSD. I just knew when I went back to college, I was having night sweats, night terrors, that I wind up, you know, not sleeping by myself sometimes, because I would just have nightmares. You know, so they say something like this with women. Women are twice likely to develop post-traumatic stress disorder as men, and children can also develop it too. And often this occurs with depression and substance abuse, and it can attribute to anxiety disorder. So trauma survivors who have PTSD may have trouble with their close family, relationships, or friendships, and their symptoms can cause problems with trust. You know, being closeness, communication, and problem solving also may affect the way the survivor acts with others. So in turn, the way a loved one responds to him or her affects the trauma survivor. Because if you are a person that is surviving from PTSD and you have particular patterns and relationships, if the person that is receiving what you're saying at the time, if they're not able to be open to receive how you are, that can even cause some anxiety and stress and cause you to go back into being inward and not really wanting to trust certain people. So these are some of the signs. Like, those are some of the signs that I spoke of. And it's okay, guys, right about now, it's okay to not be okay. Now, I shared with you, Ms. Jones, a little bit of my, you know, my little run-in. You want to share with the audience maybe any insight on, you know, some things that you experienced with PTSD or even discovered that you had it?
Well, I lost my mother. I was 4. I was turning 5 that next month. So she died in the house in front of us. So right then and there, it's like my doctors had made me understand that I have abandonment issues. I have trust issues. And, like, I don't remember her. So it's like, you know, like I always say, you don't remember, you can't miss what you don't remember. But I miss the idea of having a mother, you know. So, but that's what triggered me. So a lot of people, like, they go through rape, they may go through all types of stuff, you know, that push that on them. But that was my general experience with having it. I do eat. I have yet to figure out exactly why. But if, when I sit and I think about when I was younger and when my grandmother was alive and she would cook food. And if I sit and I think about it hard enough, that's what I came sitting with, like I said, being in this quarantine. I thought, like, when we were little, she would cook me food. And she would be like, I made you spaghetti and meatballs, your favorite. That was my favorite. So she was like, I made you this, or I made you a cake, or I brought you this, and I would eat. It had gotten to the point where I think she noticed it because I used to get in trouble. And I used to have rations when I used to have to, you know, live with my aunt, and I would have to go. I would be the only one in the house going walking, you know.
Right.
And I'm not mad about it, but I guess people did start to see it. Now I'm going to make, I don't know. I think it was just more so of that, but that right there. And then when stuff happens, I automatically eat. I turn the food. I don't want to turn the food.
Right.
But
right,
that's what ends up happening.
Thanks. Yeah, and that's, you know, considered like, you know, over, you know, an obsessive with eating. So it's a compulsive, like, it's a compulsive overeating. So here's an article that I'll share with you about compulsive overeating and how to stop it.
Okay.
So what they say pretty much is like, okay, first off, think back to the last time you ate so much you felt absolutely stuffed. Were you tearing into a huge cake to celebrate a friend's birthday, loading up on some turkey and sweet potatoes at Thanksgiving, or were you home alone? Maybe at the end of the day, how did you feel afterwards? Simply annoyed that you gave yourself a stomach ache, or were you feeling tormented? Do you feel guilty? Eating too much every once in a while is normal. So eating for emotional reasons, from the moment you were born, we're nurtured with food. Okay, so that's where it comes from. Rewarded with food, and so emotional connections to food are normal. And that's what you just mentioned, you know. You connected eating the spaghetti and meatballs because of an emotional connection with your grandmother. And she also was someone that you were connected to since baby, and she passed. So that's maybe another trigger for you of, you know, with the emotional eating, okay?
Yeah.
People who compulsively overeat, though, may use food as their only way of coping with negative emotions. As a result, they often feel that their eating is out of control. And they think about food all the time and feel guilty or ashamed or depressed after eating. That's very different from what someone feels after, saying, eating a bit at Thanksgiving, okay? So what that happens to be is what you do, you have a clinical disorder called binge eating disorder, or BED. So people with BED compulsively eat large amounts of food in a short amount of time, and they may feel guilty at least once a week over, you know, months. It could be 3 months down, and you're doing it, you know, every day, every other day. So how do you get started with something like this? How can you tackle this? In some cases, people simply overeat out of mindless habit, like always sitting down with a bag of chips in front of the TV, you know, sometimes. Is, you know, an underlying emotional problem, you know, that a negative body image can play a role in it, okay? And, for example, can people be addicted to food? So they say in recent years, food addiction has become a popular idea among some scientists. Those researchers say that certain foods high in fat, sugar, salt are addictive, you know, because studies in animals have shown that rats that binge on sugar, for example, can develop signs of dependency, okay? So how can I control compulsive eating? The bottom line is, just like with mental issues, MD, it's, you know, we all go to WebMD. I'm a victim of that too. So from WebMD is saying, you know, because we all try to self-medicate, honey. But WebMD is saying it can be hard to stop overeating, so seek help, okay, because this is a deeply rooted emotional problem. So you may want to start going to a psychologist, and you want to work with, or you can go to a psychotherapist, it says, because you want to work with a counselor that can help you uncover the psychological issues mentally that trigger you mm-hmm. to wanting to eat, because it's something psychologically. And right now, minds are all over the place with certain people because we're shut in. We never really thought about being shut in as often as we are now. You know what I mean? So now with this shut-in and quarantine, that causes a lot of things to overreact in your mind emotionally. And so that may be another reason why you are overeating, because your emotions are being triggered in so many areas, and that is a way for you to be comforted. So mm-hmm. psychotherapy may be a good help. And I will admit, I loved my psychotherapist. I did start going into psychotherapy, guys, and I'm going to admit I am a huge advocate for mental health. I have only been on this road of mental health for a year, but I do go, and I did go to a psychotherapist. I loved how she sat with me, and in the first session, this woman was able to pinpoint all these dark areas in my brain that I never remembered about why I became angry or what caused me to have anxiety, what emotion was triggered from things that happened in my past. And she was an amazing therapist and someone that I really appreciated, because it's different if you go into a psychologist. A psychologist is someone that can help prescribe you medications, and also, well, the psychologist helps to monitor your meds. A psychiatrist, they also can write you medication, but they're not going to go to the deep root of what's going on with you mentally. So going mm-hmm. to a psychotherapist, the psychotherapist is the one that can actually dig into the meat and potatoes of what's happening with you.
Well, I was blessed to have both. I was blessed with my psychiatrist in New York, and I was blessed with my therapist. Both of them. I spent a lot of time with both of them, like, you know, which was a blessing, because every psychiatrist will not do that. Mine's did.
Right.
And to give him a shout out, his name is Dr. Foote at Montefiore Mental Health Center. And Galena Rakin was my therapist. Anybody ever needs some help in New York, try them out in the Bronx.
Yeah. Hey, big up shout out for the Bronx. I'm from there too.
Okay.
So, what the good thing is that you talk about it. And sometimes even support groups, talking to others about what you go through is also another help. Not just with anyone, guys. You have to still be careful with who you share your feelings with. And that's just because this is a sensitive matter. And sometimes you got to make sure who you're sharing your feelings with or things you're going through is going to be received by the person and that they're supportive. So, Ms. Jones, you was mentioning about OCD. So OCD, guys, is obsessive compulsive disorder, and it affects millions of people from all walks of life, okay? According to the Center for Anxiety and the Center for Disease and Control Prevention, they state that 1.2% of adults in the U.S. in the past year have currently been diagnosed with having OCD. And it's in adults that are pretty much, the triggers can be like obsessions or intrusive and unwanted thoughts. You could have images or urges that cause distress and anxiety. You have behaviors that make you feel compelled to perform something in order to ease your anxiety. So you start cleaning, or, you know, but this is to ease another anxiety. So common compulsions could be like include checking on something, washing, cleaning, arranging. You know, there isn't always a logical mm-hmm. connection between obsession and compulsion. Often people with OCD experience a variety of obsessions and compulsions. Many people with OCD recognize that they have obsessions and they have compulsions, and they're not rational. Nevertheless, you know, they feel strong, and they feel a very strong need to do what they're doing, and they do it in a repetitive order, okay?
Yes.
And this is a behavior in mental compulsion. So they may spend mm-hmm. several hours every day focusing on their obsession, you know, and then doing it all the time. It's like a ritual, okay? Like OCD can mm-hmm. be chronic, And it can interfere with a person's normal routine. Like, I'll share one of my OCD episodes was when I had to make sure that my bed was made, my room was clean, and everything was in order in my house before I left for work. So I really used to sometimes have the trembles and the shakes because it's like I had to have it done or I just could not. And then sometimes it causes you to be running late because it's like I couldn't mm-hmm. leave if there was a dish in the sink or if the bed was not done. So I find myself getting up early in the morning and doing it over and over because if I did it, it was going to bother me. Even at work, I'm going to overthink about it. So mm-hmm. if you could share with the audience, what was it for you that you find yourself doing something overly all the time and you're stressing over this? Do you clean a lot?
Mine was pretty much like yours. Mine was like the cleaning, making sure everything was in order, making sure my refrigerator was in order, and that's why I always tell anybody who struggles with being late, I'm always early because of that same
right.
reason. I get up very early just to do that. You know, out here in the South is
right.
a lot different. You're a lot more laid back. Now, I find myself lately falling back into those things. I tried to eliminate them. And mine was another mm-hmm. one was collecting newspaper. Like, I don't buy newspapers anymore, which is some people were like, you don't read the newspaper? No, because I hoard them. You know, it's like information.
Oh, okay,
Mm-hmm. Information.
Or
like,
magazines. You know how some people, they will collect mm-hmm. magazines, like, you know.
Yep.
Okay, so go ahead. This is interesting to hear.
Mine was.
Because I've never heard this
about mine. Yeah, I would hoard. Like, my sister would tell you, like, I would hoard newspaper. Anybody could come to me and ask me for a newspaper from 19 whatever. Like, you'd be like, ask who's got it. Like, and people, and I like information. I don't know what it is with that. But I like to research. I will search something out until I find the answer. And it's like the cleaning, I'm trying not to get too deep into it, but even being physical with a man. Like, in my mind, I'm thinking, is he clean? Maybe I need to wash him myself. Certain things I will not do because of, you know, just like, oh, it's my mouth. You know, or my body, you know, and I'm cleaning and scrubbing myself so much, you would think that somebody attacked me or something. But I just do it. It's like an obsession with me, with stuff being clean, stuff being in order. I have, since I've been out here, I'm going to be honest, my mind has been a little bit less to jump up and arrange the cabinets, which I did it the other day, I'm not going to lie. I didn't arrange it in order by order, but I did arrange it where it looks a certain way. And I know what it is. It's just this thinking now. Like, now all you have is yourself. And sometimes it does help to have someone in your corner that's going to tell you, you know, notice these things and don't judge you for it. I feel like I have to hide. Like, I feel like I feel like I'm hiding again. You know, I'm just reevaluating myself right now to figure out what it is I'm going to do, what do I need to do for myself, like the steps that I need to take to improve myself. Because one thing that I feel like I would tell anybody, don't allow anyone or anything to disrupt your mental health. And I feel like I have done that often, you know, like even when I came out here, I had a brush with someone. I'm not going to say no names, but I was dating someone who I found out wanted to be with other men. So now my trust, already I deal with trust, even though the person won't admit it, I deal with that, the trust issues. Knowing that before you got to worry about a woman. Nah, you got to worry about both.
Right.
You know, so it's like that, like what I would do with that, even when I came out here, I would clean. So cleaning keeps me sane, like cleaning, dusting, fixing something, making wig, braiding my hair. Like, I do a lot of things to try to keep my mind off a lot of things. So that's just pretty much, I have a lot of issues with the OCD, but I know where it comes from. It comes from me panicking. Like, I panic.
Right.
Like, once I start to panic about something, I color. Like, people are like, well, what are you buying? You getting a coloring book and crayons? I would tell anybody, you would color. And I'm going to, tomorrow, I'm going to try to today I'm going to try and make a promise to myself that I'm going to get up and go walk. You know,
right,
I have anxiety sometimes.
Healthy.
I don't want to other people watching me, or, you know, like these damn dogs over here they got. I don't know some of them. So my thing was
right.
like, oh, they're going to try to run at me. So tomorrow I'm going to try my best to say, okay, so let's get up early before everybody's moving around and walk. Because
so this
I feel
is,
like
this is something that I wanted to mention to you, that I'll
mm-hmm.
share this website with those, and it's called iocds.org. And this is how mm-hmm. is OCD treated. So treatment for most OCD patients should involve exposure and response prevention or medication. The majority of people, about 7 out of 10, will benefit from either medication or the ERP, which is exposure and response prevention. So what's the most effective treatment? Most effective treatment for OCD are cognitive behavior therapy, because your cognitive is going on and what's going on with your brain mentally. So when you go to like a behavioral therapist, more specifically, the most effective treatment are a type of CBT called exposure and response prevention, which has the strongest evidence supporting its use in the treatment of OCD, and or class of medications called serotonin reuptake inhibitors, or SRI. Exposure response prevention is typically done by a licensed mental health professional, such as a psychologist, a social worker, or a mental health counselor in an outpatient setting. This means you visit the therapist's office at a set appointment time once a week, or you might do it a few times a week, and they pretty much will assist you with your journey on helping you manage your OCD. So finding a therapist who can diagnose and effectively treat your OCD is challenging, and it's challenging to many people. Some people say that between the ages of 14 to 17 years, that's when some of the symptoms start to set in. So hiding symptoms. Some people choose to hide their symptoms, often in fear of embarrassment, like you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
This causes many people with OCD to not seek help or a mental health provider. So not enough public awareness on OCD, which, you know what, I'd have to agree with that. You don't see much mentioned about OCD. People just pretty much shoo it off like, okay, she got a compulsion, she's got a disorder, she's got a, you know, she's obsessed with doing this like all the time. Well, that's a disorder. So finding yourself a very good therapist that could assist you and give you some techniques on how to, you know, guide yourself down a road where you can, you're not going to conquer it, but you're going to have a better strategy on how to deal with it when you feel a trigger coming on. So these are things that you can talk to your healthcare professional about. But also, do like Ms. Jones mentioned, sometimes you might want to look up certain articles and understand about OCD and how it's being treated. Don't be afraid to take medication, guys. Not
mm-hmm.
to say that you want to be a guinea pig, but be open to your doctor's advice about taking medication. You would learn a lot from a professional, because you're not the professional, but we always try to self-medicate ourselves. And
mm-hmm.
Somebody asked, can OCD be cured? Some people with OCD can be completely cured after treatment. Others may say that they still have OCD, but they can enjoy a significant relief from their symptoms. Treatment
yeah.
typically employs both medication and a lifestyle change. And you know what? I have to admit, me going through some traumatic situations where I've always had to up and move and relocate, and then you go live with people, and, you know, when you're sharing someone else's space, you can't do that compulsive picking up, putting things away, and then they can't
mm-hmm.
find their own stuff, you know. So I learned through travel and just trying to, like, you know, you got to compromise with other people, that actually started helping me manage my OCD much better to where not I'm not, like, overly obsessed about it. I don't catch an attitude if they put the jar in the wrong place in the fridge, because at one time it used to piss me off, I have to admit. Like, and it's something that you just have to learn how to manage and deal with anything that you're going through in life. You have anything else you wanted to share with the listeners that are listening? Or any helpful tips, too? Ms. Jones? Is she still there?
Yeah, you can hear me because I had to come back outside my phone. You can hear me?
Oh, okay. Yeah, can hear
my phone
now.
Be going in and out. I'm in the country.
Sorry.
If you may be with somebody who's not as supportive as you would want them to be, because I think a lot of us are coupling right now and being with people that, living with people that, you know, you usually go to work, usually not around each other as much. So you're getting to know somebody all over again. Don't lose the faith. Like, you know, if all you got to do is call somebody you trust and talk about it, because everybody ain't going to understand you. And it's hard, too. What you were saying, I wanted to say one thing. We're calling a therapist and stuff right now. Right now, it's not really – it's hard to get appointments. It's hard to – you know, but they do have things that they offer over the phone and, you know, through the text.
Yeah.
And you can tell your doctor what your experience and stuff. So just don't be afraid and be ashamed, because I feel like shame is in not saying anything. The powerful will open their mouths and say something about how they feel. And it's no such thing as crazy. You know, you're not crazy.
Right. And don't let others and don't let people insult you with saying you're crazy, because that's another thing that can really cripple a person's emotions when others poke fun at what you're going through. And like she was saying, like, my doctor, I happen to be able to FaceTime my doctor. I can call her office. And they do answer, because they're actually working from home. Like, the people that are answering the phone, they're working remotely. They're not in the actual clinic themselves, but they can schedule an appointment, and my doctor will call me, and we'll have a FaceTime session, and she gives me some understanding on things, and she's also given me referrals, like, for another psychiatrist that I'm going to make an appointment with, that, you know, thankfully they're open to speaking to me on the phone. And so where there's a will, guys, there's a way. You know, this is a tough time that we're all living in, you know, dealing with COVID right now, not really knowing when it's going to end, you know, how all of this is affecting us and how we can cling together. You know, if you just have two people that are your support system, then so be it. You know, you don't have to allow so many in your life right now, but if you have a strong group of individuals that you know you can talk to, relay certain things to, then I would suggest do so. Doing this all by yourself alone, and you don't have to go through all of this. You're not in this alone. And if you had to share anything with some of our guests tonight before we end our show, what would you share with them?
Like, about, I mean, I guess it would be the same. It would be just stay strong. Like, it's hard to tell people, like, exactly sometimes exactly what you want to say, like exactly what's on your mind for me sometimes. Because it'd be everywhere at this point today. So, but I would tell anybody, I would just say, like, just stay strong. Like, don't let nobody try to make you feel bad for who you are. You know, like, you're gonna go through things. You're gonna be stressed. You're gonna be sad. Go through your emotions, and if you have to close yourself off into a room, go ahead and do that. Let yourself be free. Like, don't worry about what anybody else think about you. And like I said, first thing you're going to hear people, oh, you're crazy, she's crazy. Well, be the best crazy you could be. Get yourself some daggone help. Don't worry about what nobody else is going to say. Because like I said, crazy people don't go get help. They walk around butt naked in the street screaming and hollering. Okay?
Hey, I've seen some crazy videos lately. Like, there was one of a man, poor man. He was running through the streets and banging his head into cars. And, you know, people were laughing at it, and some people, but you know what? When I stared at the video, I really took a second look and was like, man, this person is going, like, full force, banging their head, bouncing right back, butt naked, running to another car, doing the same thing. That has to be traumatic, and something
mm-hmm.
really is going on upstairs.
Exhausting.
And, you know, that really is someone that really needs the help. But it's, you also got to protect yourself, because you don't want to just walk up to someone like that, because you don't know what could trigger that person to hurt you. So you still have to learn how to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And go get screened. You can get screened by going to your doctor. Talk to your doctor. Tell them, you know, some of the things that you're feeling in order for them to say, okay, I can't, that's not my expertise, but let me recommend someone for you. So
mm-hmm.
we talk to you about certain things, okay? Take time out for yourself. Listen to music. Go do some meditating. You know, step back from the problems that face you. Just sometimes just, you know, relax. Take it easy. Sometimes just spend
mm-hmm.
a day doing nothing, you know? Spend the day to just to calm your mind, you know, stay in a calm environment. Get enough sleep. When you're stressed and your body needs it, sometimes you just need to take a nap, okay?
Yes.
Count to 10 slowly. Sometimes by just counting backwards, that can help calm you down, believe it or not. And accept that you cannot control everything. Put your stress
exactly.
in perspective, okay? You know, realize that, okay, certain things are bad, but they're not as bad as you think. When you think you got it worse, somebody out there has got it 10 times worse than you. And not to disrespect or say your things are not being recognized, but just take a minute to say, I'm okay. I'll be okay. I'm going to get through this, you know, and learn what triggers your anxiety, okay? It's work, you know. It could be a family member. It could be, you know, something else. Write it in a journal. Start journaling, you know. So that way maybe you can start to keep a journal of, okay, I was talking to such and such, and, you know, this person really, like, I love them, but, man, they just get on my nerves. And I notice every time they talk to me, it's something negative, and, boom, that triggers something in me. So if you
mm-hmm.
find out the triggers that you have, start writing those things down, and maybe you may have to avoid certain things, you know.
Yep.
What do you suggest, Ms. Jones?
I suggest that same thing. I mean, sometimes you just have to stay away from the triggers. Like, I have people that trigger me, and when you're trying to become a better person, you know, you're going to lose those friends. It's almost like an addict. Like, people don't realize
mm-hmm.
that mental health is almost like being a drug addict. Our addictions are people, and it's like certain people you're addicted to. It may be a relationship. It might be your sister. It might be your brother, your cousins, your aunts, uncles. It might be someone that you feel like you're so close to, but you don't secretly understand that they're secretly giving you the wrong things. And then once you start to come in touch with your mental health and things that do trigger you, you're going to figure out that, oh, wait a minute, all along it's been this. This is what it triggered. This is what's triggering me to feel this way. Or sometimes you may do things a certain way other people may not understand. And they'll tell you stuff, and then you'll sit there, and for years you've been listening to that. And then once you sit down with a
yeah.
professional that's letting you know what's right and what's wrong, you'll find out that that person don't mean you no good. And then it comes a depression may come. Why? Because you have to release yourself from that person and the person that you might feel that you're close to. You know, so I would definitely tell anybody, write. You know,
yeah.
listen. Sometimes
yeah.
music can make you sad. So if you're already sad, don't you go in there listening to no slow, sad songs. Find stuff that are
right.
upbeat. Shoot, write your own song. You know, you
yes,
become the best person.
Right.
You're the best author of your story. You know, write
right.
your own song.
That's correct.
About how
that's
you feel.
Right.
Like
you
the
know,
same thing with
and be aware of internet anxiety scams, guys.
Yes.
Like, be aware that there are scammers out here. So don't
yes.
run to every resource on the internet. You know, like
don't
some people
it.
Like, oh, I'm an anxiety coach. I'm a life coach. You don't know certain
mm-hmm.
people's certifications, so don't be so quick
to, and that's where your research should come in. Your research, OCD,
right.
The research clean. Go on there and research
yes.
people. Don't listen to what everybody say, because it's easy to fall into a trap.
Exactly.
When you when you're already feeling
yes.
down, people feed off of your weakness. So yeah, write your own
okay.
song.
And, yes, and you know what? You might be the author. You are the author of your own
mm-hmm.
book, and you can
mm-hmm.
write a new chapter
mm-hmm.
each day. And if you want to, there's a website called National Institute of Mental Health, and it is a go-to website that is actually funded by the National Institute of Mental Health. Go to sources like that where they have different topics, different things you can research and read. Start to become an investigator in your own mindset, and don't focus so much on the anxiety. And guess what? Even sometimes if you do have anxiety, walk through it, you know, pinpoint certain things, and you don't have to avoid it. You don't, avoiding it sometimes can trigger it too. If you're feeling something coming on, hold on to by paying attention to a few things. Like my therapist gave me a small little homework when anxiety hits. What's the first thing you see? And then she tells me to, you know, look at the first three things I see. Okay, what's the first three things I can smell? What's the first three things that I liked about today? That's called grounding, okay? Because if you're becoming grounded, you're taking capture of your thoughts, okay? And that's what's going to help you calm down, you know? So it's actually just being more strong in your mental by just keeping those thoughts captive, you know? And don't look at certain TV shows if they trigger, you know, maybe you don't need to be looking at violent shows or, you know, reality TV, or take a break from certain things that you know can just cause a negative reaction for you. So
mm-hmm.
I want to thank my guest today, Miss Jones, calling in from South Carolina, and she shared with us some very good information. Thank you for sharing with my listeners today. I really do appreciate that. So we always end the show with what I call a final thought. So my final thought for today, I'll go last, but Miss Jones, if you could share with the audience that's listening tonight, what would be your final thought that you take away from this show tonight?
Well, I feel better. You know, just talking, I was
great.
Feeling a little overwhelmed today, so I feel a lot better. My final thought would be to find somebody that you can also talk to and, you know, relate to. And even if you can't, you know, ask the person, do they feel like listening? Sometimes people are overwhelmed with their own things that they're going through, too. So we feel like we don't want to bother them, but find somebody to talk to. Throw up, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Throw up all of whatever the bad things that's going on with the day and just make it to tomorrow. That's the goal.
Yeah.
Make tomorrow the better day.
Right. My final thought for my listeners tonight is, okay, occasionally anxiety is an expected part of life. And you might feel anxious when faced with problems at your work, at your home, taking a test, you know, before going to work, you know. But anxiety disorders also involve a lot of other things. And then more than temporary, we seem to worry. So take your mind off of worrying, okay? Also, walk in your faith much stronger. Start getting into the habit of doing a daily devotional, reading your word for the day. Before you start your day with opening that internet and social media or turning on that news,
take
some quiet time before when you start your day and meditate and pray and give your feelings to God. I cannot enforce, you know, my feelings and my beliefs on others, but if you do have a faith, start exercising your faith much stronger currently, because it will help subside the spirit of fear. So my final thought is that, and I want to thank Ms. Jones calling in today. And this is Ty Jones and Ms. Jones. And we want to thank you for being in this show today. And God bless you and have a wonderful evening. And taking us out of here, I'm going to go with is from Stone Mountain. He calls this one Glorious. This is Ty Jones taking you out with Glorious. Peace and God bless.
Hey, I just lost my mind, but I don't need that. Fuck around, lose your life if you want, nigga. I ain't got no time for they feedback. End of the day, let them say what they want, man. Wasted too much time trying to live up to expectations on my own. So gotta stay by my side if you can. I know I won't make it on my own. Your life is at price. Who's outside?